Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you have ever seen either the movie or the stage production of Fiddler on the Roof? Oh yeah, a lot of you have. Okay. Well, you remember kind of how the story goes. It's about a Russian Jewish family, 1917, time of the Russian Revolution. Tevye is the father, he's a farmer, and his wife Golda, they have three daughters of marriageable age. And as you recall, Tevye is a man who loves tradition. And that one of the first songs in the thing is, "Tradition, tradition!" And he thinks that's the way things should go. His wife, Golda, is trying to drag him into the modern era, rather unsuccessfully. They have these three daughters who need to get married. And of course, Tevye wants the traditional matchmaker to make these matches. And then there's that song. "Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch. Make me a perfect match." Remember that part? Well, the girls aren't that excited about the matchmaker making them a match. They want to make their own matches. They don't want to follow the tradition. And the first daughter, the oldest daughter, Zeitel, has a match all lined up. But it's a guy who's in his 50s and he's fat. And she's like 23 and pretty svelte. So she doesn't want to marry him. She wants to find her own match, and she does. It's a poor tailor, and she marries him. That's very disappointing to Tevye. Then the second daughter finds a soldier to marry, and they're stationed out in Siberia. And then finally the third daughter, and this time she has gone too far out of the tradition. She marries a Bolshevik soldier. He's not only not set up by the matchmaker, he's a Gentile. What next? And that's too much for Tevye. So he disowns her, says she's dead to him. And at the end of the movie, they're fleeing to America, Tevye and his wife. And this daughter comes to try to see if she can have reconciliation with Papa before he goes to America. And Tevye turns his back on her, and she is dead to him. And she cries, and then he falls over on the fence, and he cries. Tevye is a man who loves his traditions too much. He puts his traditions in front of the commandment of God to love other people and to forgive and to be reconciled. His traditions mean more to him than the commandments of God. That's where we are in the gospel lesson for today. The Pharisees have their traditions as well. They've got a lot of them. And one of their traditions goes all the way back to the Exodus, where the priests, before they entered the temple, washed their hands, a ritual washing, and their feet. And the Pharisees wanted to be in solidarity with the priests, and so they would always do a ritual washing of the hands. Now, this isn't because their hands are all filthy. They could be clean as a whistle, but they would dribble water and let it drip off the end of their hands. That was, you know, the ritual. And, of course, they were watching Jesus and the disciples pretty closely, and they had a beef with him. They said, "Well, how come you let your disciples go without following our tradition? They're eating with defiled hands. They don't wash their hands." And I know some of you are saying, "Well, we certainly told our kids that often enough, so, you know, what's wrong with that?" No, this is just the ritual washing. They're eating with defiled hands. And Jesus, knowing that they were just trying to catch him at something, called them hypocrites. He said, "Yeah, you hypocrites, you honor me. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You leave the commandments of God, and you hold fast to the traditions of men." So we might say, "Well, okay, that's interesting for them. Does that have anything to do with us now?" Well, we have our own traditions. You know that? And some of these traditions can be useful. Some traditions are good to remind us of what is our mission. But if we just have our traditions and they don't do anything to remind us or to bring us closer to what our mission is, to love other people, to serve God, to spread God's word, if it doesn't match up with that, what difference does it make? We're certainly in a period of time now in the Christian church where we should be looking at what our traditions are. I'm not saying throw everything out. I'm saying we need to look at it. Because as you can see, young people are staying away from the Christian church in droves. Why is that? And when we bring new people in, do they get our traditions? Do they understand our traditions? I don't know. Maybe we need to look at some of those. Most of the conflicts that there have been in the world actually have been over one group of people don't follow the traditions of another group of people. And then we think, you know, well, they're wrong and we're right. People love to be right. Most of the conflicts in the Christian church or with religion have been over differing traditions. Remember the Crusades? Let's send people over and kill the Muslims. Remember that, you know, all the fighting between Jews and Arabs now in Palestine. The fighting between Christians and Christians, Catholic and Protestant Christians in Northern Ireland. And of course, there's all the infighting of denominations in America as well. We're going to get into that. That's where traditions oftentimes come in, and they're not very helpful. So, you know, what can we do about this? I don't know. I remember a satire that I read a long time ago when I was in school. It was by Thomas Swift. It was called Gulliver's Travels. Do you remember that one? And in this, it's kind of a fantasy satire. Gulliver goes to the country of Lilliput, and there the people are about this high, and they think he's a tremendous giant and a monster, and they, you know, tie him down while he's asleep. Well, they find out he's a human. He's just real big. And then he goes to Brobdingnag, where the people are giants, and he's only about this big compared to them. But anyway, back in Lilliput, there is a huge dissension going on, as you'll recall. The Lilliputians had almost killed each other off. And the big issue was the two parties were called the Big Enders and the Little Enders. And the issue was, which end of the egg should you crack, the big end or the little end? And of course, we're going, oh my gosh, that is just so stupid, because, you know, we would crack it in the middle. But that was a big thing for them, the big enders and the little enders. And we look at that and we say, well, how nitpicky and dumb can you get? Well, okay, let me try this. How about all of you move over to the other side in the pews over there? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? And all of you guys could move over to the pews over here. And those sitting in the back, I want you to sit up front. And those that you're calling a halt to things right there? Yeah, yeah. You know what's next? A common cup, individual cup, gold carpeting, red carpet. Holy cow, there could be terrible, terrible decisions we have to make about traditions. And all of that, you know, we know that we get into patterns, we know we have traditions, but the gospel lesson today is reminding us, in the book of James it says, that religion is pure and undefiled that does this, it takes care of the widows and the orphans who are in distress and keep oneself unstained. That's pure and undefiled religion. The rest of it is just stuff. Are we taking care of the disadvantaged? Are we spreading the love of Christ? Are we taking care of ourselves and living for Christ? Then the traditions are good and helpful. If we're not, not so much. So, I want you to think about that a little bit. Be thinking about, what are traditions that we have? Just noodle this around this week. What are traditions we have that really help people become closer to God and more forgiving and loving to one another? And what other traditions we have that we may want to take a look at? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.